Hi, I'm Rob.
And I'm Rob.
And this is Ask Rob and Rob.
Welcome to Ask Rob and Rob. It's that time again. We've got two wonderful questions from two wonderful listeners, and we are going to provide the best answers we can. Now, before we get going with this week's Ask Rob and Rob, you may have noticed that there wasn't an episode of Ask Rob and Rob last week. Or rather, there was, briefly, and then there wasn't. The reason for that is that I made a mistake in one of the answers that we gave. So as soon as we noticed, which was after a few hours of being published, we pulled it down. However, if you did hear it in those few hours while it was up, I think it's worth setting the record straight. So the question was about stamp duty, and I said that if you owned property in a limited company, then bought a residential property, you'd have to pay the surcharge on that residential property. That was incorrect. If you own properties in a limited company, however many you own in that company, and then you buy a residential property, which is the first property in your own name, then you'll not have to pay the surcharge on that residential. So I'm sure there'll be people who will be much happier with that answer than the one that I actually gave in the podcast wrongly. So sorry if I caused a bit of a panic there. Like I say, we took the episode down as quickly as we could, but now we've set the record straight so we can get on with this week's episode. After this quick recap of how you send your own question in.
Yes, it's super simple. There's two options. You can go to propertyhub.net/ask and you can record a message there, nice and simple, or you can call in on our hotline. Sounds more glamorous when you call it a hotline rather than a voicemail, and it's 013-808-0035. Whichever option you choose, you just leave a message, and then hopefully, in the not too distant future, you'll hear yourself on the show, just like Andrew's about to.
Hi, Rob and Rob, it's Andrew here. Thanks for all your great content and advice you share online. I was just wondering if the average house price to earnings ratio is something that you guys take into account, or whether anyone should take it into account when analysing house prices. If you look at this ratio, prices at the moment in the south especially look ridiculously higher, but is this actually worthless because it's more based on the mortgage costs and the interest rates, it seems? So obviously house prices can be higher if mortgage rates are cheaper because the interest rates are cheaper. Thanks again for your advice. Cheers.
Andrew, great question. Thank you. And it's great to hear that you are looking into property in this level of depth and doing your research. Now, the house price to earnings ratio is really interesting. And I think it's one that you can consider when assessing an area or an area's capital growth potential, but it's not the ratio that I place most value on. And the reason why is people will often use this ratio and go, look, property prices are completely overvalued right now. Look at it, what it was like in the 80s. But what people are missing is that interest rates are super high in the 80s, and therefore the cost to own that said property was actually really, really tough. So while the earnings ratios may have looked more favourable, their affordability of owning that property was a lot tougher. So therefore, affordability ratios are far more interesting to me. Now, when you look at affordability ratios, you'll see right now that property prices are relatively affordable to own. And that even includes the southeast. You'll still find that in the southeast it is higher. You will expect that. But it's not as scary. It doesn't look as daunting. And yes, interest rates will go up at some point. That is inevitable. But I think looking at the long-term affordability charts really gives you a better insight into where the market's at right now in terms of its legs and potential to go further. So it's not to say ignore the house price to earnings ratio. Have it as a consideration, but also look at the affordability ratio, and then you'll get a better sense of actually what is happening out there. And it's super easy to find. Just Google it and it'll come up, and then you can look back through all the charts.
Well, there you go. Great answer for Andrew there. Let's see what we can do for Joe.
Hi, Rob and Rob. From reading your books, I'd come to the conclusion that the best way to finance buying a house to renovate and sell on quickly was to use a bridging loan. But recently I was talking to someone that mentioned offset mortgages were also a good option if you already own your own home. I wondered if I could get your thoughts on this and what you would advise. Cheers, guys.
Well, Joe, you're on the right track. You've made the wise decision to read my book. So I'm sure whatever you do, you can't go too far wrong. But seriously, offset mortgages. The reason that offset mortgages don't get talked about so much is that there aren't as many of them around as there used to be. But if you can get an offset mortgage, they can be a really interesting option. So if you don't know what one is, the idea is that you've got your mortgage with a lender, and then you've got a savings account with that same institution. And if you've got savings in that account, it offsets your mortgage amount, so you're not paying as much interest. So for example, say you had a £200,000 mortgage on your own home, but you had £50,000 in a linked bank account. Well, then for as long as that £50,000 sits there, you're only paying mortgage interest on £150,000 because the 50 offsets the 200. Then if you wanted to spend that £50,000 on something, like, for example, buying another property to do up, then you could do that. You could take that £50,000 savings out, and all that would mean is that your mortgage interest payments would go up because it's no longer got savings offsetting it. In the right circumstances, this can be great because it's a really flexible borrowing facility, effectively, and it can mean that the cash that you've got saved is doing more good for you than if it was just in a normal savings account. So in your standard savings account, I don't know, what can you get these days? Under 1%. But let's say that your mortgage rate on your home was 2%. Well, then effectively, because you're reducing your mortgage payments in the offset account, then those savings are the equivalent of earning you 2% interest. Now, that's assuming that all else is equal and the mortgage rate that you could get for an offset mortgage is the same as a regular one, which it's probably not because it's higher, but you get the theory. So if you relate all that back to buying a property to flip, which was your question, then if you do have an offset facility and you've got the cash sitting in there, then using that cash to do the flip, sell the property, take the profit, put it back on your account again is a fantastic option, because all it's doing is increasing the borrowing on your personal mortgage, the rate of which is going to be far, far, far lower than bridging finance. So if that works for you, it is a great option. The reasons why it might not is, first of all, like I've said, there aren't as many offset mortgages around as there used to be, so you might not be able to get one, or it might not be at a rate that's as competitive as other mortgages you could get at the moment. And the other reason is, of course, you do need to have the savings actually sitting there. So if you're in a position where you are a bit more cash strapped and you don't have the cash and you wanted to borrow as much as you can, then bridging is going to be your option. It is a lot more expensive, but as always, you just need to calculate those costs as part of your overall project and see if it still makes sense after taking that into account, as well as all your refurb costs and everything else. So thank you for asking about this, Joe, because I don't think we've covered offset mortgages before, and now we have.
So thank you, Andrew. Thank you, Joe. I hope you are satisfied with your answers, and I hope you, dear listener, are satisfied too, and you feel a little bit more knowledgeable. If you want to top up that knowledge, though, make sure you join us on Thursday for the main event, the Property Podcast. And of course, we'll be back with Ask Rob and Rob next Tuesday. So until then, take care, have fun. Bye-bye.
Bye-bye.